Yesterday, in the Bhagavad Gita, we're talking about the we're talking about death. What's the name? Nobody likes discussing death. This is why you are discussing this death all the time. Many people ask this question. Is this the only thing you've got to discuss? There's nothing else to discuss in this world. Generally, that is the reaction from many people. They'll say that every time you open up the book, you start talking about death. Is there anything else in this world to talk about? But that is the only thing we have got to talk about. There's nothing else to talk about here. So, Parikshit Maharaj also, he was waiting for 7 days to talk about death. 7 days he was talking about death only. It was nothing else. Only difference is that Parikshit's realization was that when Sudeva Goswami made him understand, there is no such thing called death. Death is for the body, not for the soul, not for the soul. We are not the body. And all these realizations has come to Parikshit. So that is why he mentions there that we also said this yesterday, that if the death is for the body, if death is for the body, body is already dead. Without the soul, what life has got, the body has got. So from there itself you can understand death is not for the body. If death is for the body, body is already dead. Thing it is, isn't it? It's jadam it is. Chitchakti chedayadoba jadashakti jadalmiga, Lalidasa Swami says. What does it mean? It means there is two power. One is chitchakti, which is a spiritual energy, spiritual power. And the other one is jadashakti, which is the dead matter, energy from the dead matter. Jadashakti jadalmiga. The mind, body, senses, intelligence, ego, all the abhara-prakriti comes from jada-shakti. The soul is the chit-shakti. Soul is the... So, chit-shakti is present in us in the form of consciousness. Chetana-rupam. Chit-shakti, chetana-rupam. Chetana means consciousness. It's present in us in the form of consciousness. Jada-shakti, jada-almigam. Jada-shakti, which is coming from jadam, dead matter, that jada-shakti is present in us in the form of this body, mind, intelligence, ego, and senses, whatever that all. Everything else, the rest, is all jada-shakti. It's all jada-shakti. So from this you can understand, body cannot die. It's already dead. Body is already dead. So why we say that he is dead? So who are we referring to that person who died? If it is body, body is already dead. Body has no life of its own. It is due to the presence of the chit shakti that the body is functioning. So, and that is why in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned that thing. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na abhavo vidyate sada. Means, asat cannot have bhavam. Asat means this jada shakti. It cannot have a bhavam. Bhavam means a reality. It cannot exist anytime. It will exist for some time, but it will change. It will change. It cannot have its own existence all the time. Na asato vidyate bhava. Similarly, na abhavo vidyate sada. Sat cannot have abhavam. Sat means something chit shakti. You can never destroy it. It will always stay. If you apply that principle here to us individually, you can see that is the very fundamental point of our existence. That na sato vidyate bhava, na abhavo vidyate sada. Chit shakti, spirit soul, it cannot have be destroyed. It will always exist. Material body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego, everything will get either changed or will get destroyed at the end. They all get destroyed at the time of death anyway, isn't it? At the time, when we say death in the mundane terms, when the death happens, body goes, body doesn't stay like this anymore. It changes its form, isn't it? Material elements will become material elements, and that is the end of the body. And mind will go where? Nobody knows. Intelligence goes. ego goes, everything gone, like that. And in Sushupti, every day it is happening. This is why Krishna has created this Sushupti state, to teach us every day that look at this way, that every night while in deep sleep, body has gone, mind has gone, intelligence has gone, ego has gone, everything has gone, and you are there. And you came back in the morning, all of these things have come back again. So, to prove this point, that you cannot exchange these two things. Chit Shakti is Chit Shakti, Jada Shakti is Jada Shakti. They cannot be exchanged. They cannot be exchanged. They can't interact each other. They are separate all the time. They are separate all the time. This thing that when it is like that, and that is fully established inside, such a person has no death. Such a person has no death. So, Parikshit asked this question, how will you establish that properly inside? How will you? So, can you tell me how I should, what I should meditate on that? How will I meditate on that concept? That Chit Shakti and Jada Shakti separately. That I am eternal, I have no death, and I cannot be destroyed. Body will die, body can be destroyed, and body is temporary. When I say body, it includes mind, intelligence, ego, everything. How is it possible? Can you tell me how I should keep that in my understanding? Because this is the last minute he is leaving the body. Parikshit is leaving the body. It is then that Parikshit said, Sukadeva Goswami told him. What did he say to him? He says to him that if we look into the 12th canto, he says to him in the 5th chapter, Aham Brahma Param Brahma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Atmanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Atmanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale Dashandam Takshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishananehi Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Pradakalmanaham Dashandam Takshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishananehi Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Pradakalmanaham Yedathe Kadidham Tada Yathalma Prashtavan Rupa Hare Vishwalmanas Cheshtam Kimbhuya Shrotumichasi. These three verses. What did he say to him? He says to him, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, keep saying this to yourself. Aham Brahma, I am Brahmam. I am not the body. Param Dhamam, I am belong to that Dhamam, superior abode. Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. Brahmam is my abode. I am Brahmam. I am not Brahmam. I am Brahmasmi state, in other words. I am that. I am that. That state. Be established on that. Because Sudeva Goswami is saying this, it gets established in Parikshit's mind also inside. Evam samikshanalpanam. Think that you are that and stay like that, he says. Evam samikshanalpanam. Atmanyathaya nishkale. That is the only way that you completely situated on that pure state of Brahman. You see, Parikshit is now fully matured to receive that instruction from Sudeva Goswami. He has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam for the 7 days, and this is the very end of Bhagavatam. So he has already seen Takshaka is on his way to bite Parikshit. So therefore, what Sudeva Goswami did was, he didn't want to waste any more time. Up to this time, he has told all the stories of the 11 cantos. And 11 cantos, he spoke about the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. Everything was spoken. But direct experience, Parikshit hasn't had yet. Up to this point, Parikshit has heard everything. What Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Parikshit is realizing that I have to experience that before my death. In other words, Parikshit is also now very eager to experience it, to all this knowledge what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, and all the other experiences of all the other devotees also who glorified Krishna in the previous cantos. So hearing all that now, Sudeva Goswami took the decision, this is the right time now to give it to him. So when Sudeva Goswami made that decision and spoke, it had its immediate impact on Parikshit. And that's why he says here, Dashandam Takshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishananehi. That Dashandam Takshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishanehi. Let Takshaga comes and bite your feet. Let's see what's going to happen, he says. So confident about it. That is the beauty of that. Sudeva Goswami is confident. Dashandam Takshagam Pade. Let him come and bite. Let's see what. Lelihanam Vishananehi. That let the poison come. Let's see what will happen. Why? Nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha pradagalmana. This shariram, this body, we will not see because you are not that body. Body may go. Nadrakshasi shariram cha. Not even this world, which you have nothing to do with this world either. This world is also part of this avara prakriti. Shariram is also part of avara prakriti. It is at this point, Sudeva Goswami is making Parikshit realize that he is para prakriti and not avara prakriti. Na drakshase shariram cha vishwam cha prathak almana. You are actually that consciousness inside. When he said that, Parikshit experienced that at that point. That you will see in the next chapter. But after saying this, what Sudeva Goswami did was, Yadathe katitam tada. He calls him tada. Tada means son. Earlier, he addressed Parikshit as my dear king. In a big way. Treating him like a superior. Now, he is treating him like his son. Yadathe katitam tada. Yadhalma prishtavan rupa. Calling him king as well as my son, he says, Yadhalma prishtavan rupa harer vishwalpana cheshtam. That see everything as that thing what you are. In other words, that realization of aham brahmasmi is with all the other realizations as well. That means all other living entities also is Brahma. Aham ayamatma Brahma, tattvamasi, pratyanam Brahma. Everything together in one package to Parikshit. These are the four different Upanishad statements. Pratyanam Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. From different Vedas, from Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, they have taken from different Upanishads of different Vedas. So, all that realization in one lot to Parikshit. He says, Yadathe kaditam tadha yadhalma prashtavan rupa harer vishwalpanas cheshtam. See, everything in this state. Then he says, Kim bhuya shrutam ichasi. Do you want to hear anything more? That was the last words from him. With that, Sudeva Goswami was gone. He didn't stay anymore after that. Where he has gone, nobody knows. Even that form has disappeared. Form has disappeared. This is the last words from the Sudeva Goswami to Parikshit. Didn't wait for an answer. Because as soon as he knew that Parikshit has reached that state, his business is over. He has gone. He has gone. There is no, taking the telephone number or anything. I'll call you back later or something. There's nothing like that. That is spirituality, isn't it? Spiritual life is like that. That when proper realization comes, Sudeva Goswami, he can enter into everyone, isn't it? And speak on through them. Which he has done through the trees and the plants and the creepers. He has done that. In the first canto, you know about that. So, because he is in that state, there is no need to say goodbye. Goodbye you have to say only when you know somebody is separate from you. Is it not? Only then you say goodbye. You are saying, one body is saying goodbye to another body. But on a spiritual level, who says goodbye to whom? Where will you say goodbye to him? So that's why he says that, Sella, Kim bhuya shrotum ichasi. Do you want to hear anything more? Saying that he left. And then, even wait for the answer. When he was getting up and going, the Parikshit is saying, Siddhosmi, Anagrihidosmi, Bhavada, Karunalmana. ശ്രാവിതോ യച്ഛമേ സാക്ഷാൽ അനാദി നിധനോ ഹരി. ദാറ്റ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഫൈവ് ഓർ സിക്സ് വേഴ്സസ്. ഇൻ റിപ്ലൈ ടു ദാറ്റ് പരീക്ഷിത് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു ഹിം, ബട്ട് ഹി ഹാസൻ്റ് വെയ്റ്റഡ് ദാറ്റ് ലോങ് ടു ഹിയർ ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഹസ് ഗോൺ. സോ ദേ വാസ് സം ഇസ് ഗോൺ. സോ കമ്മിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ഭഗവത്ഗീത, യു ആർ മെൻഷനിങ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ദാറ്റ് ദി ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് വേ വാട്ട് ഈസ് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻസൈഡ് യു, ഹി സേസ് ടു പരീക്ഷിത്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ബ്രഹ്മം. That is Brahman. And if you have found out that, you have found out Brahman. And what is that Brahman? Continuous consciousness, awareness of your own existence, which is saying, I am, I am, I am. That awareness. That is that what he is talking about. If you have found out that, aham, 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 I am, I am, inside that. when you inquire about that aham inside, who this aham is, you will see that there is not many things inside. There is only one thing which is inside. And that aham, which is present in everyone, is one. Is one. And there is another aham inside. What is that? The false ego. And they are separate. The false ego in all of us is separate. They are separate. That is the jiva form, jiva nature. Consciousness, which is we identified as the consciousness false ego. That is different. But the aham aham, that thing what is inside saying to us, consciousness of our existence, awareness, that aham is one. That is the point here. Aham aham ennu, whatever we are talking, aham aham inside, that they are not different, they are only one. That aham inside everyone is one. But ahanda or the ahangaram or false ego inside, they are all separate. They are all separate. So that is how that jivalma paramalma relationship is like that. So when the ahankaram, the false ego, goes away, and this aham aham inside, when that manifests, that is our swarupam. That is our real swarupam. That's our real swarupam. In other words, wiping out our swabhavam, we should try to go after the swarupam. So normally in all relationships it is swarupam, swabhavam, that is interacting, isn't it? Suppose two people are interacting each other, it is their swabhavam that is interacting, is it not? According to the swabhavam. Swabhavam means, what do you say, swabhavam? The prakriti, the nature of a person. That is what interacts between people. What Krishna is saying here is that let swabhavam leave that to itself. Let it go. Let it go its own way. But be situated on the platform of swarupam. Swarupam, which is the soul. And when by constant inquiry, who I am, who am I, who am I? And we should think in that way, and we should change our swabhavam. Situated in the inquiry of the swarupam, we should wipe out our swabhavam. This is Krishna's main instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. We all of us have got swarupam and swabhavam. But we should get closer to the swarupam by inquiring about the swarupam and completely moving away from the swabhavam or the nature. That is what Krishna says here. And it is not possible to completely move to swarupam from swabhavam. These two things are to be understood properly. We talked about it before also. What is swarupam means, what swabhavam means. Swabhavam means the vasanas inside, the subtle body, our nature, three modes of material nature, interaction with this world, everything. This is our swabhavam. Swarupam is our spiritual identity, spirit soul. These two things are different. Krishna is saying, don't be absorbed in the swabhavam, be situated in the swarupam and move away from the swarupam. Continuously reflecting on the swarupam, you should come to the platform of the soul and move away from the swabhavam. But it is not possible completely to come out of swabhavam and be situated in the swarupam. Therefore, Krishna spoke Karma Yoga. It is for this reason Karma Yoga was spoken in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And there, Krishna knows very well, that's why, that is for reason he spoke Karma Yoga to Arjuna. Because Krishna knew very well Arjuna is not that stage yet. Arjuna has not reached that stage yet that he can move away from the Swabhavam to Swarupam. That stage he is not ready yet. And therefore, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? Krishna says, whatever you may tell me, please don't take sannyas, he says to him. Please don't take sannyas. I'm giving you all these instructions, but don't give up karmam. Don't give up karmam. That's why he mentioned there in the second chapter, karmanyeva adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana. Ma karma balahe durbur mahade sangostva karmani. Krishna says to Arjuna. Why? Karmanya adhigaraste. You have got the adhigaram. You are meant for executing karmam. But at the same time, he gave him also the secret of karma, which is karma yoga. The secret of karma. What is that? Ma bhaleshu kadachana. Don't expect the results from the karma. Ma karma bhalahe durbhur. Don't link with your karma with the results. They are completely independent. Which is a very difficult thing for most of us to come to terms with, isn't it? All of us think that karma and karma bhalam are closely connected. Yeah, we say, you get what you pay for. This states like that, isn't it? You say like that. Or we say, according to your work, you get the result. But as you sow, so you reap, and all kinds of things we say. According to your work, you will get the results, we say. Krishna is saying, no, not according to your work. Karmam and karma bhalam has no relationship, Krishna is saying. And sometimes devotees also get some realization that karma and karma bhalam has no connections. Ma karma bhalahe darbur. Then he says to Arjuna, Made sango swakarmani. Never stay without doing the work. Now is the interesting thing. Why did Krishna say like this to Arjuna? As I mentioned before, to move away from Swabhavam to Swarupam is not an easy thing. Through vicharam, through thoughts and through your own ability, to some extent you can do, but completely to move away is not possible. So, therefore he says to him, if you give up all the karmam, and if you simply hold on to Brahmam at this stage, you don't try, he says to Arjuna, it will not work. It will not work. At the moment, you do your karma, what you have to do. But this thought should not appear in your mind not to do the karma. Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to engage in karma. But Krishna also tells him how to engage in karma. That is karma yoga. That is karma yoga. Without expectation of the results, that means not linking the result with your action, and without thinking that you are doing everything. Rather, everything is happening through you with that consciousness. Do you know why I was saying this to some in detail? So many hours I've spoken about it. If you look into that verse, there is two words there. It is from that all this story has come from. And if you look into the verse 33 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here, Mayai veden hida purvam evam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. If you look into the verse 33, in the 11, chapter 11, which we are discussing now, in the chapter 11, verse 33, Krishna is saying here that Mayai veden hida purvam evam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. It is from that tasmatvam uttishtaye shoilabhasva jitva shatrun bhunksharajyam samardham mayai veden hida purvam evam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. That nimitta matram bhava savyasachin, the explanation is what we have spoken so far. Can you connect both now? What I am saying and this verse. Tasmatvam uttishtaye shoilabhasva. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, wake up, get up. Tasmatvam uttishtaye shoilabhasva jitva shatrum bhunksharajyam samardham. Fight this war and win this war and enjoy this kingdom. Mayai veden hida purvam evam. Why? Because I have already taken, that is the decision. Mayai veden hida purvam evam. Therefore get up and prepare to fight. After conquering your enemies, you will enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. That is why Mayai veden hida purvam evam. And then, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin, be an instrument in the fight. That is karma yoga. That is Karma Yoga. So it is in the background of these two lines. Maye vede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. It is that what we have spoken about so far, yesterday and today. This is the message that is coming out through that two lines. It's not just you read the lines, Krishna said like this, oh, it should be like that. No, not like that. We shouldn't understand it like that, anything. We should understand what context Krishna is saying this. That context is this, that you have your Swarupam and the Swabhavam both. In a very essence, nutshell, I'm saying this, that the Swarupam and Swabhavam is there. And by, we have analyzed this also, our identity is we are Sat, we are Paraprakriti, we don't belong to the Aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti cannot interact together, although they appear in one unit. They cannot interact, they are separate, always separate. So Aparaprakriti is this body, the mind, intelligence, ego, everything is Aparaprakriti. And Aparaprakriti is temporary. Aparaprakriti is always changing. Is always changing. Paraprakriti is eternal, blissful knowledge, never changes. It lives forever. It cannot be destroyed. All that Krishna has spoken before also. So death is for the Aparaprakriti, not for the Paraprakriti. After saying all that, Krishna says to Shri Goswami said to Parikshit, know yourself that you are that Paraprakriti which doesn't experience any death. Any death. And after that we have seen here that you can see that Paraprakriti is the one Paraprakriti, is only one present in everyone. Jiva, which is the conditioned aspect, or which is the false ego, that is separate in everyone. Everyone. But even if you try very hard, of your inquiry of your Paraprakriti, it is very difficult to realize it. It is not so easy. It's not so easy. So to Arjuna, Krishna says to him, take to Karma Yogam process. To Karma Yogam process. And it is there, Krishna said, mentioned that in the second chapter about Karmani Vadhigara, say, all the secret behind Karma Yogam, Krishna spoke to Arjuna. And he also told him, never think about not doing any karma, he says to him. But execute the karma with this understanding. What is that? Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Krishna is doing everything. It is happening through this body. It is happening through this body, number one. And secondly, don't expectation of any. Don't link your work with the results what you get from the work. Not to connect both the things. Because then what will happen is, I am the enjoyer will come inside. That's why. Why they say not to connect these two things. Because from there, this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, two things. The I am the enjoyer will come if you connect the result with the, those are the two things we are trying to get it off from us, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So if you want to get it off, I am the enjoyer, you should not link the results with your work. And actually they have no connections. That's what Krishna is saying here. There is no connection between your work and the results. Results are offered by higher authority. If your karma is favorable, only then you will get the results. If you are qualified to have it, you will get it. Otherwise you won't even get it. So that is why Krishna says to Arjuna, he says to him, without thinking that I am the doer and without expectation of any results, complete, that means a surrendered state, fully surrendered. In that state, you should work. When Krishna said that to Arjuna, Arjuna says to him, that is very difficult. That's very difficult. That's what you are going to see now in the next verses. It is at that time, Krishna spoke to him about the science of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga. What purpose one has to execute karma. Now, whatever we are going to say from now on, they are very important. Why they are important? Let us understand karma properly. Krishna says to him, we don't execute karma for the sake of the result. It is not for the results that we are executing karma. In this world, all of us are executing karma for some result. Isn't it? Krishna is saying here, the purpose of karma is not for getting results. What is he saying here? Because that itself is not clear to us. This one particular point. So therefore, as soon as you say like this, which is called Naishkarmyam. Nishkarmi means not linking the results with the karma and operating in this world. You say this to anyone, they get frightened. They say, you can't expect any results. You expect me to work free, they will say. People ask this question. Bhagavad Gita has caused a lot of problem also to people. Because in our mind we have established certain things. I must work, I must get result. Krishna is saying, don't expect any result, don't link results and the work. As soon as he says, oh no, no, don't talk about that, he says, if I start working in this world without any results, what's going to happen? So the problem is, what Krishna is saying here, people are hugging this thing called karmam, which only creates distress at the end. They are hugging that and then they are crying, oh, am I going to lose it? Actually, karmam has caused all the distress for us in all our life. It is karmam, from there all distresses come. Because karmam created karma vasana, we got involved in all this karma mandalam, karmam and karmam, karmam, karmam. We got so much absorbed in the karmam and that karmam has destroyed us. And now it has become so difficult to come out of it. If somebody tells us to leave everything, we say, how can we leave it? This is where we are at today. So that's why he says here, knowing very well, it is this karmam that has created me all the distress. I'm hugging that and saying to everybody, am I going to lose it? So, even this very basic thing has not cleared up in our mind, in our consciousness. We are not clear about that. We are still thinking, I'll tell you why it's not clear. So, we are thinking, we have come to this world to do some big thing here in this world. We have got something very big to do and after that we have to die and go from here. This false conception is in our head. Actually, you can take it that there is nothing to be done here. It's all our misconception. And from this only, it is from this concept, you will see, lot of people will quote Bhagavad Gita and say, I have got my duty. I got my duty, they say. Strictly speaking, there is nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna talking about a thing called duty. Where this has come, I don't know. People say this all the time, duty, duty, duty. You take to any of the commentaries of Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, nowhere there is a thing called a duty mentioned. In India particularly, everybody says, I got this duty, 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 they say. Here also, not there only, I got this duty, you got my duty to family, duty to this, duty that. What duty? There is no word duty mentioned anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. And they will ask also, if you talk to them about Karma Yoga, they will say, oh, Krishna has told us to do the duty, they'll say. So where is that duty mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita? What exactly Krishna is saying to Arjuna here? Krishna says to Arjuna, even if you want to do your duty, what you say it's a duty, you cannot do it. Because if I have decided to make you to do that duty, you are going to do it. And if I decided not to allow you to do that duty, you will not be able to do it. Krishna says to Arjuna, actually nobody has any duty in this world. What actually we have got is Swabhavam, our Prakriti. That is what we have got, not duty. Swabhavam or Prakriti. And Prakriti or our Swabhavam, you cannot keep it away from yourself. You cannot keep it away from yourself. Therefore, you have to work. You have no choice according to your Swabhavam. So that Krishna says that I am not doing that. It is happening through me. If you get this understanding and that pravritti or action what you are performing, it is coming from the vasana inside. And if with that knowledge, if you execute that, and with that knowledge, with that jnanam, if you do that, and taking away that I am the doer, that Krishna is doing it through me, if you allow that to flow in that way, it will flow on its own. Then this duty concept will disappear from inside. But somehow or the other, it has been hammered into our head that I got this duty, that duty, that duty, 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 we keep saying. In Bhagavad Gita, nowhere Krishna talks about a thing called duty. What Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have come with this vasana from your previous life. You have taken a birth as a kshatriya now. Why you got a birth as a kshatriya? Because you have that yuddha vasana, the propensity to fight. That is in your blood, in your each cell, it's present there. Therefore, you got this body as a Kshatriya. Because karma was, the Yudhavasana was there. Fighting, battle, business is already there in you. And that's why you come here as a Kshatriya. And now you keep saying, and what was Arjuna saying to Krishna in the beginning? All these, my spiritual, my Drona, Bhishma, pointing out to them, my relatives and all that. Actually, that's all attachment. It has nothing to do with the, without any knowledge, Arjuna was speaking. So, Krishna is saying here, so, to Arjuna, he says to him, actually what was happening was, he says, that if you don't want to do anything, he says, I will let you go. But in a few days time, you will, your bow and arrow will start telling you to take me from inside. And you will have to take it. You will have no choice either. So all Krishna has done was, gave him this proper understanding and removed that ignorance from Arjuna inside. And gave him the proper understanding. And Arjuna, he, Krishna knew, by giving that proper understanding, Arjuna will fight automatically. Without any further, and that is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. So for Arjuna, this understanding of the duty or attachment was actually a block for him in fighting the war. So what was that block? Mamata. Mamata means attachment. Arjuna's attachment. Attachment due to what? On a bodily level. Thinking that Drona, Bhishma and all the Pandavas and the Kauravas, everybody was standing there, they are related to me, they are this, they are that. So many rings, what he spoke in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which you can see. So Krishna knew very well, once I break away that attachment, Arjuna will naturally fight, because fighting spirit is already there in him. Because Arjuna's swabhavam is fighting. If you tell Arjuna to do something else, he'll be a disaster. Suppose you appoint, Arjuna comes here and we tell him, Arjuna, from tomorrow onwards you be a pujari at the manor, and we give him that service to do. You know what will happen? Arjuna will be showing the Gilam to Krishna and say to him, to Krishna he will say, if you had let me kill him that day, I would have killed him on that moment. That is Arjuna. Arjuna's nature is fighting. You can't change that. That is in him. So, so in order to strengthen that, Krishna says to him, not only through the yoga shakti, yoga power, everybody hasn't got that. Arjuna only specially had a special mercy from Krishna. So Krishna showed that through the universal form to Arjuna. To show it to him, that everything what is going to happen in the future, is shown already in the universal form. That was the reason why he showed it to him, that it was happening through Krishna's arrangement, not by Arjuna's effort. So, and he also gave the understanding to Arjuna that you will not be able to stay without fighting this war. When he showed the universal form, Arjuna understood that. Arjuna understood that. So, Arjuna understood at that time, normally we are not doing big things in this world like Arjuna has done. Arjuna is fighting a big war and everything. So people will say, oh, for Arjuna it's okay. Arjuna can do all that. What about us? What are we doing? Are we turning the world upside down? Or what are we doing such big thing in this world? But still, Krishna is saying there, whatever karmam is coming through, by through prarabdham, carry on doing that. Don't have to come out of it. Important is the understanding in which karma, as Krishna says, karma should be executed. That is the most important thing. So many people are there, because we have heard Bhagavad Gita doesn't mean that you have to give up all the work in the kitchen or all the work in the office. It's never done like that. But only difference is Arjuna's business is killing. That is Arjuna's business, isn't it? Killing others. That's happened to be his profession. So he has to do that. There's no point in talking all sentimental things at that time. So all Krishna has done was remove that ignorance and put for the right understanding in Arjuna's mind. So as soon as proper intelligence was there, Arjuna felt that there is no necessity to fight this war. Krishna says here that no matter how bad kind of activity, how dreadful the work is, It does not matter. See, sometimes for the benefit of the world, you may have to do it. You see, this good and bad and all that in this world, we have made it, isn't it? In Krishna's eyes, there is neither good nor bad. Everything is bad at the end. That's what Krishna says. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we'll